Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus one more time. Amen. We can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a blessing to see all of you. It's a joy. Amen. And I've been so blessed by the ministrations that have taken place so far. Thank you, Shepherd Sujit. That song that he just ministered to, it's a very, if I can use the word, sentimental song to me. The reason for that is because I think it was in 2015 when my brother-in-law, you guys might all know him, Shepherd Peter, got involved in a terrible car accident just at the junction to Chaneng. I remember that day as if it was yesterday. I had just woken up. I was still actually in bed. My wife and I were still in the room. And my phone rang. And it was his then beloved screaming. I said, "Calm down. What's going on?" She couldn't talk. I asked her, "Where are you?" She said, "We just got involved in this terrible car accident. I'm here by Chaneng." I was still in my PJs. I left the room. My wife was following me. She didn't know why I'm running. So I got in the car. We drove there. Just at that junction there. When I got there, he was lying flat. One eye gone. Paralyzed. I didn't know what to do. I didn't even know what to say. Long and short, hospital, this, that. Couldn't see. One eye was taken immediately, the eye was gone. And the other one, he couldn't see. And my brother-in-law couldn't see for almost 4 months. Couldn't see anything. That song. I had just came across that song. And the part of the song that hit me was where it says, "It will not always be like this. It won't always be like this." That part hit me so much. So I took my phone. I went to the hospital. My brother-in-law was lying there. Obviously, he cannot see, but he could hear. So I told him, "I'm here, but I came with something. I want you to listen to this." So I pressed the song. He started listening to the song. We both started crying. We're just crying in the hospital, the both of us. When the song was over, he said, "Pastor, play it again." So I played it again. I think I played it about 15 times, this song. Yeah. So if he was here now, he was going to cry immediately, because we are very connected to the story. And I got a word from the Lord. I told him, "You hear what? I think it's me. What is this guy's name? Mick something, Misha something." I said to him, "You hear what he's saying in the song? He's saying it won't always be like this. This is going to change." And then the Lord gave me a word for him. And I said to him, "Peter, you're going to see better than people with two eyes." That's the word that came out of my mouth. I told him, "You're going to see better than people with two eyes." Now, God is a very humorous God. Not so long ago, I was looking for something. I couldn't find it. Shepherd Peter was there. He saw it. And he says to me, here's what you are looking for. I said, my God, the prophecy is coming to pass practically. In all levels. If I was to put a scripture here now, you are going to read it. You will see something. If Shepherd Peter was to look at that scripture, he will see something deeper. So truly, truly, today, Shepherd Peter sees deeper than people with two eyes. This past Friday, I was teaching our guys in Rustenburg about the importance of prayer. And I was saying to them, you know, there's a stage in your life where you don't even know what is prayer. You don't even believe in prayer. You don't even pray. But there comes a time in your life where you don't have a choice. If you don't pray, it's over. And usually when you reach that stage, turns out that you didn't train yourself to pray when you should have trained yourself to pray. And that's how the journey of many ends. Yours will not end in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you blessed to be here? Amen. I want to thank all of you for the love, for the prayers and everything, and the gifts. Thank you very, very much. And I'm very grateful to everybody that has contributed in one way or the other for this trip that I'm about to embark on. You guys know how much I love Bishop Dakiwat Mills. I've been following Bishop Dakiwat Mills for the past 13 or 14 years, faithfully. I sleep with his voice. I wake up with his voice. I'm not just talking. That's how I live. When I go to bed, I just press play. And the whole night, he's talking. I wake up in the night many times. He's still talking. I sleep with his voice. I wake up with his voice. He has impacted my life beyond imagination. Beyond imagination. And I'm going to be privileged to meet him for the first time this year. Because a couple of you are helping me to go there, to be there for about 14 days, and to come back. And by the grace of God, I will be ordained by him. Hallelujah. It's a very significant turn of event for this church and those connected to this church. So I just want to encourage us. If you committed yourself to helping me, try. Even if you can't do everything, but whatever you can. I would like to appear before my Father with a good offering as well. I want to honor him. Praise the Lord. So pray and ask God to help you so that you can help me in whatever way possible. Praise the Lord. So thank you so much for all the prayers, for all the help. Amen. Amen. And I'm also very blessed this morning to see a very good friend of mine in the building. Brother Paul, I'm so shocked that he is here. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the man of God, please. It's good to see you, sir. Yes, wonderful. Thank you very much. Very humble servant of God. He's a professional musician, professional pianist. I think we'll give him a chance one of these days to show you his skills. Yeah, but I really honor him a lot because when I was appointed pastor, those years I usually talk about, he had just been moved to Sun City to start playing for Sun International. And he joined the church. Praise the Lord. And you know, after he joined the church, we didn't have, he is the one who made me buy this piano. Yeah, I bought it for him. Because the one we had was too small. He couldn't play it. So I told him, I'm going to buy a bigger one. So because of him, I bought this one. So he played for us for many, many years. Those early years where we are sports and social. You will come and you'll find us. He'll be playing this. And we had a few other guys who was helping us to put the team together. It was just a few of us. But he was there. You know. And when I started getting to know him, I realized he has played for big musicians. Hey! He's lived in Europe. He's been almost everywhere. He's played for Pastor Chris. He was one of the main musicians of Pastor Chris. Do you understand? So he's a great, 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 great person. He's just very humble. You will never know who he is. And I was so shocked that he would come and join this little church and just be there and play with us. And, you know, yeah, he was with Christ Embassy. I think even when you were in the UK, you were still with Christ Embassy. Yeah, he was with Christ Embassy for many, 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 many years. Hallelujah. So it is a very great privilege that God can lift you so high, but you're still humble. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate the man of God. Praise the Lord. We're going to, as you guys, you've taken my whole time. So I'm just going to share a few thoughts with us this morning. Are you ready for the word of the Lord?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about a few things. Esther 6 verse 1. Let's do this word thing. That night, say with me, that night.
That night
the king could not sleep. How many of you have had a night where you couldn't sleep? For you, it's every night. I mean, it's not that night. For some of you here, it's a daily thing. So I think you're asking, Pastor, which one? Because there are so many of such nights. That night, so the king usually slept. But that night, there are usually those nights where you can't sleep. You are toasting and turning. My God. They think the king couldn't sleep. So he ordered the book of the Chronicles. What is the book of the Chronicles? Well, it's a book where the things that have been done are recorded. The kings of old did not have cameras and all these things that we have today. They had books. They didn't have a camera. You couldn't film anything. The only way to memorize the thing was to write it down. So they had people that were employed just to write things down. That was their job. We call them the scribes. A scribe is a person who is employed just to write things about what the king is doing or what is happening in the kingdom. Do you understand? Even in South Africa, in South Africa, I don't know, they didn't write much, but they will sing it. Do you understand? Like they will, if you want to know about the past, either they sing it or they recite it for you. Now, it must have happened because the story of Chaka Zulu is very consistent. I've read a book about Chaka Zulu. I've watched many, many movies about him, but there's a consistency in the story. So you can see that truly it was passed down. Like these things happened. His mother truly's name was Nandi. And then it's a clear recitation. So you have here chronicles. Chronicles are simply a record or like a compilation of events that have been recorded. Am I communicating? The chronicles, the record of his reign to be brought in and to be read to him. So he asked them, I can't sleep. Bring all the things that have been happening. Let me, it's like newspaper. News. There was no TV, so he has to entertain himself. Verse 2. It was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. So when he asked for the record to be brought to him, as they were reading, they came across a passage that said a man called Mordecai. Say with me, Mordecai. That's a very important name to remember. Mordecai was this guy who apparently exposed a conspiracy. And after he exposed the thing, they wrote about it. That actually, Mordecai, these two guys, Bigthana and Teresh, wanted to kill the king, but the king's life was salvaged because of the loyalty of Mordecai, who exposed this thing. Are you still here? Verse 3. What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this? The king asked. Nothing has been done for him, his attendant answered. When they read this thing, the king said, so this guy saved my life. So, okay, what did we do for him? What was done to recompense him, to, you know, like, to honor him? And the people said, no, nothing was done. Nothing was done. Are you here?
Yes,
can we pause there for a second and learn something here?
Yes,
the first thing you are learning here, quickly now, is that when you know something bad that is happening and you don't expose it, you are a part of it. How many of us sitting here today, if you were in Mordecai's position and you saw Bigthana and Teresh planning to do something, what will you do? Oh, me, it's not my problem. So let, if the king catches them, it's good. If the king, I'm here for my own thing. Let me handle my own story. Everybody must fight their own battles. We're talking this month again about being servants of God. I'm sure you're aware of that. And I would like to submit to you that a true servant of God does not withhold critical information. I just said something right there. I said a true servant of God does not withhold critical information. All Bigthana and Teresh needed was for Mordecai to remain quiet. And the king was dead. The king was dead. How many kings have died because you and I withheld the information? How many marriages have been destroyed because you and I knew what was wrong but we didn't say anything? How many people left the church because you and I knew already long before it happened, but you didn't say what you were supposed to say? How many times you are aware of things before the king is aware of those things, but you keep quiet? You keep silent. How many things have happened even in the house where you are staying and you knew about it? I'm talking to myself. You knew about it. You knew about what is going on. But you withheld the information. And because you withheld the information, somebody is dead. I thank God for Mordecai. I said, I thank God for Mordecai. Mordecai did not withhold information. He exposed this thing. He exposed it. He exposed it. Even the way you people are looking at me, I can see that you are not Mordecai. The way you people are looking at me right now, I can see that I'm hitting the right button here. These people are not doing this thing. Do you know those people? I remember I've shared this story here before. The day I wrote matric. You know, writing matric is so stressful. So after we finished writing matric, me and my guy, my friends, we all decided to just enjoy ourselves. But even if I was enjoying myself, I had my restrictions. I'm a Christian. So as a Christian, I don't drink alcohol. I'm not saying that if you are drinking alcohol, you're not a Christian. Did I say here that if you are drinking alcohol, you're not? I didn't say that here. Please don't say things I didn't say. Praise the Lord. I'm just talking about myself. Pastor is talking about himself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard the story of a priest who was about to close the service. So he took his Bible. He said, guys, I pray all the beers that are in your house, we must pour them in the river. All the beers that are in the taverns, we must pour them in the river. All the beers that are in this country, we must pour them in the river. And he said, praise the Lord. People say, amen. Then the head usher came to close in prayer. The head usher said, guys, we must all go and drink from that river. What type of assistant is this? Say, no, after the service, let's all go and drink from that river. That's a bad assistant, a very bad assistant. Are you here? What was I saying? I was talking about something before this thing. What was I saying? I went to celebrate with my friends, but I was a Christian. So as a Christian, you must never forget who you are, even when you are celebrating. Some of you, when you are celebrating, you say, let me put my Christianity aside and let me celebrate first. Huh? Even though you are celebrating, you are a celebrating Christian. So I told myself, I'm going to celebrate, but I'm going to celebrate as a Christian. I'm not going to compromise my values just because I'm happy. And this is what happens to a lot of us. You forget yourself. So I went there and I ordered Coke. This guy ordered my Hunter's Dry, my Castle Light, my Savannah Dry. Hey! And I didn't feel the pressure. Tell your neighbor, there was no pressure. There was no pressure. I was actually feeling sorry for these guys. I was feeling sorry for them. Are you here? Listen to me. Then I got a phone call. I think it was my brother or some. They wanted to know how I rode, you know, like. So I went outside to answer. By the time I came back, I come and I sit. I take my Coke. I corner. The test is not the same. This is not the thing. This is not the thing I bought. Then I realized I was surrounded with betrayers. Judases were surrounding me. How come not even one could expose them and say, Pascal, don't drink that thing. So and so poured alcohol inside. They all were looking at me. After I drank and it went inside, they started laughing. They all started laughing. That's the day I changed friends. There must be a day when you change your friends. I changed my friends.
A true servant of God does not withhold critical information. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. We don't have too much time, but let's quickly see how far we can go. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. This is Paul speaking. Paul is not saying the Holy Ghost revealed to me that there are quarrels among you. Paul is not saying that I received a vision and in the vision I saw that there were quarrels among you. He says people from the house of Chloe, the name is mentioned. Chloe's people have come to tell me that you people are quarreling. He said they have informed me. In other words, if people from Chloe's house did not inform Paul, he wasn't going to know that there were quarrels in the church. Many times there are quarrels in the church, and Muruchi, he doesn't know. Many times, people are blowing each other in the church. Fornication, fornication. Fornication. They are fornicating. And they know. But pastor doesn't know. When pastor is preaching, they say, look at this one. Pastor, you're a small boy. Pastor, you don't know our ways. You don't know nothing. Yeah. No, don't say tell them. Say tell me. Tell me. When are you must be careful. You must be careful with your Christianity. How can you say tell them? This is a dangerous Christianity. She could have at least said tell us. And when you are really sincere, you say tell me. Tell them, tell them. Icon. It's not working. They have informed me that something is wrong. They have informed me. People are sitting here now with secrets. Yeah. I shouldn't say it. Yeah. We are sitting here with secrets. Brother Marvin is sitting here. There are things Brother Marvin doesn't know that are happening at Bethel. There are things LP doesn't know that are happening at Bethsaida. We cover each other. We cover each other. I want to tell you something that I don't want you to ever forget. Are you ready for this? Withholding critical information will weld your faith to the faith of the offender. Should I say it again? Withholding critical information will weld your faith to the faith of the offender. Have you seen somebody welding things? Huh? Using a welding machine. You see, he will take a piece of iron that is lying here. Then he will take another one that is lying here. He will bring the two together. Then he will weld it. From that moment, wherever this piece of iron is going, the other one will follow. Yeah. When you withhold bad information, yeah, whatever happens to the person who did the thing will follow you. This is true even for husband and wife. Just because I'm your husband or I'm your wife doesn't mean I must just accept everything you are doing. You guys are not ready for me. Because as you are covering up for this person on something you should rather expose, his destiny becomes your destiny. Wherever he is going, you're going to follow him there. You have welded Ayakatama. You have welded your faith to his faith. We have a very good example in the Bible of a man with his wife. The man's name was Ananias, and his wife's name was Sapphira, and both of them sold the land for 10,000 rand. How much?
10,000.
How much?
10,000.
They sold the land for 10,000 rand, but then Ananias told his wife, you know something? You know we need money. We can't take this whole money and go and give to Pastor Peter. When we go to church, I'm going to go first. I will go and tell Pastor Peter that no, we only got 5,000 for the land. And later you will come. If he asks you anything, just say, yeah, it's like that. It's exactly like that. Covering up, you will weld your faith to the faith of the offender. I tell you, Ananias came with 5,000. He gave 5,000. Pastor Peter asked him, how? Ananias, is this all you got for the land? Yeah. You know, things are hard. People are so difficult out there, I tell you, Pastor. People are so hard. I'm telling you, I even bargain. Even this 5,000 you are seeing like this, it's because I work very hard. That's why you are seeing 5,000 like this. He said, hey. He said, yeah, this is it. He said, you know, how come Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied against the Holy Spirit? He dropped dead. Look, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and kept for yourself some of the money you have received for the land? Look at verse 4. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to man, but to God. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Those of you that are professionals are lying to pastors. Creating stories. Peter told him, you didn't lie to a man. You didn't lie to a man. You're thinking you are talking to a man. But this man is representing a higher power. That's the person you lie to. Some of you didn't lie to your mother. You lied to God. Yes, you were thinking you are lying to your mother. You were thinking you are lying to your dad. You were lying to God. And some of you must repent today that, Lord, forgive me for the things I've done. Forgive me. So we can see what happened to Ananias. Praise the Lord. But when you come to me to verse 7, you will now see how when you cover up, whatever happens to the offender starts following you. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Verse 8. Peter asked her, tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? So God is always giving you an opportunity to fix yourself. Yes. She said, that is the price. Are you? So what is going on? She's covering up. I say she's covering up. She's covering up. And she's thinking she's being a good wife. Like some of you thinking you are being a good friend. I cannot expose my friend. You know, pastor shouldn't know about this. We'll handle it on the side. I cannot say this. So she covered up her husband because again she doesn't know that he's already rotting under the earth. Look at verse 9. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Verse 10. And at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. And the young man came in and found her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. What happened to Sapphira? She welded her feet to the feet of her husband. But covering up for him, she didn't realize wherever this iron is going, you are following. I'm talking to myself in ABC Karayom. When something is welded, wherever the other part is going, this part will follow. I feel that this morning we have a lot of thinking to do with our lives. The way we are living, and we are always wondering, no, I don't know why these things are happening to me, and I don't know what is happening. No. You never know when you welded your faith to the faith of another person. When the person is being punished, you feel we are too hard on the person. You feel, no, they were not supposed to do that. When your father is punishing your sister, you feel your father is too hard. He was not supposed to punish her like that. So you come, the next time she does something, you cover her. What are you doing? You are welding your faith to the faith of your sister. Don't be surprised tomorrow when your life starts looking like her life. Sit down. God sent me here this morning to tell you it's not too late to dissociate yourself from this iron that you have welded yourself to. It's not too late. And the thing that unwells you, speaking the truth. Speaking the truth. There are people sitting here, you know that your sister has committed abortion. And nobody knows. Your father doesn't know. Your mother doesn't know. Only you and her know about this thing. You have gone and done it, and you have come and sat in the house like nothing has happened. Some of you are sitting here. You know what people are saying when I'm not there. You know what people are doing when I'm not there. As soon as they see me, they correct themselves. Everybody correct themselves. So that I can be deceived into thinking, oh no, we are going the right way. But yet you know that this person is behaving like this person is pretending. Yeah. But Pastor, I can't say this. He's my friend. He's the one who invited me to church. I cannot expose him. I don't know why I feel like this thing is hitting you guys so much that, like, I don't even know what I should do to myself right now as I'm standing here. I'll tell you the truth. Been hiding things, covering up for each other. And when you look at your spiritual life, no prayer, no reading of the, you are becoming a cocoon of what you used to be, because today you have been hiding sin. You are protecting sin, evil. Whoever protects evil is an evildoer. As I told you, you must remember the name of Mordecai, because we need Mordecais in this age. We need Mordecais in this time. People who will love you enough to expose you. People who will love you enough to say, you know what, I love you too much to hide this thing. We need to help you. We need to help you. We need to help you. Sometimes, by the time the king knows about the matter, the thing has degenerated. Many lives have been lost. Sometimes a person leaves the church, and that person was not supposed to have left the church. If pastor was made aware earlier, if LP was made aware earlier, if the thing was brought to the open quicker, we could have helped the person. Many a times, you see, you know that if I'm working with you, you can easily think that I did this. Meanwhile, I didn't do it. Wabo. And then you go and tell her, you know, Pastor did this. Meanwhile, what you are saying that I didn't do. And you are already offended based on a lie. And you're going and tell your sister, you know, Pastor did this to me and I'm really disappointed. This and this and this and that. If the sister loves you, she must come and report you to me and say, Pastor, I was talking to brother so-and-so. Hey, his heart is not right. This and this and this and this. And you see, and I can say, my brother, actually what you saw was wrong. That's not what happened. But if she keeps it to herself, she doesn't want to expose him because they are best buddies, he will continue rotting inside on a lie. On a lie. Remember, what he saw is not what is. He needs clarification. And I'm not giving an opportunity to clarify because I don't even know he's offended. So it's not always that, you know, no, this guy, they are gossipers. They are, no, it's not gossip. It's love. It's not gossip. It's love. Like, I love you. I cannot allow you to destroy yourself like this. So I need to tell somebody so they can help you. Many marriages could have been saved today if things were brought to the open on time. Many people didn't have to go to hell today if their problem were brought to the open on time. If it was exposed. My brothers, this is the will of God for our lives. The king asked, when this guy exposed that matter, was he rewarded? He said, no, he was never rewarded. I think this is all I want to talk to you. Have you learned the two lessons? What is lesson number one? A true servant does not withhold critical information. You can remove servant and put a true lover, a true friend, anything you want. You can just replace this thing. A true friend. If I'm truly your friend, I cannot continue hiding this thing that you and I know is wrong. What kind of friend am I? You tell me. What kind of friend am I? Letting you destroy yourself in the name of friendship? Like I know. Like, you know, some of these friends, he knows in his heart that this guy is going nowhere. She knows that what her friend is doing is wrong and it's not going to go well. But they can't say it. They can't say it to the friend and they can't say it to the person that can help the friend. Now, I didn't ask anybody to come to church today. You came by yourself. Nobody forced you to come here. Did I call you to say, I'm in Kalayone today, come to church? I didn't call you. You came by yourself. You took your two legs, you came to say, Pastor, preach to me. I'm not preaching to you, you are not angry with me. I don't know why you are angry, because I'm just sharing the word with you. we shouldn't share the word. We must just talk. Sharing the word. Ask your neighbor, do you like the truth or you prefer lies? What do you prefer? What do you prefer? Praise the Lord. Lesson number three. And this is not the message of the morning, but we're going to end here because this is good. You know, it's just enough for you to get what you need for this Sunday. And then the message of today, you can find it online. Show them the poster of the message of today. Which, unfortunately, I can't share with you because we're out of time. It is not useless to serve God. You can find it online. If I have to take you through it, we're going to end it another hour. So let's just end our little story. And then you are learning lesson number 3. Is that whenever you expose evil, soon or later, you will be rewarded. Whenever you expose evil, soon or later, you will be rewarded. You will be rewarded. And you can be rewarded with even a better friend, like the same friend of yours, by exposing their weaknesses, they become a better friend to you. You will be shocked that some people prefer for you to tell them the truth than for you to keep lying to them. You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. You know, can I tell you the truth?
Yes,
now I prefer that if I'm doing something wrong, you tell me that I'm doing something wrong. Don't keep deceiving me. I know you are good. I know when you are sharp. Meanwhile, you know very well I'm going to destroy myself. But you are deceiving me. You are deceiving me. How many of you would prefer to be told the truth, even if it hurts? But at least you are telling me the truth. You are giving me an opportunity to better myself. Rather than you lying to me that I'm okay. Meanwhile, you know I'm not okay. You know I'm not okay. You know we are not fine. Then when I fall, you say, I knew it. Hey, you know, I heard such statements. I knew it. Okay, you knew it. What did you do? Oh, I knew it. The way she was going, I knew she wasn't going to make it. But did you ever tell her that the way you are going, you might never make it? Did you ever tell her that, you know, when you are very rude? You are very rude. I'm just with you because I'm your friend and I love you. But in all honesty, if I didn't have love, I wasn't going to stay with you. I understand why nobody has stayed with you. You are too rude. You say, no, Pastor, I can't say such a thing to her. She will be offended. She will get hurt. Me, I don't want to hurt her. By not telling her the truth, you are hurting her more. You are hurting her more. You guys are not ready for the truth, I tell you. You want me to just, we must talk about praise and worship. I can talk about praise and worship. I have a good sermon on praise and worship. If you want, I can talk about praise and worship. Who wants me to keep talking about these things? Can I tell you the truth? The truth is, as much as we don't like telling our friend the truth, that's also how we don't like telling ourselves the truth. You see, you start deceiving yourself. Yeah. Because you are used to deceiving people, you even start deceiving yourself. Yeah. So you never tell yourself the truth. You can never say, you know what, I'm wrong. It takes a lot of strength to admit you are wrong. Yeah, you keep, no, I know, you know, it's because of this that this happened. That's why I did this. You are always blaming people. You are always blaming people. Do you know why I like the Bible? I love the Bible because the Bible is not afraid of me. The Bible is not afraid of anybody. The Bible will look at you to your face and the Bible will say to you, when you are a sinner, you are a bad person, you should repent and give your life to Jesus. That's why I love the Bible. I love the Bible because the Bible tells me the truth. Imagine I'm reading the Bible. Imagine I'm reading the Bible and the Bible is saying to me, no, when are you? Oh, sharp.
Hey.
I know you are okay.
Oh, sharp.
I know everything is fine. Meanwhile, even myself, I know I'm not okay. But the Bible says, I know when you are sharp. God is love. God is love. God is love. Never forget. God is love. God is love. I thank God the Bible is not afraid of us. The Bible is not afraid of us. That's why we love the Bible. That's why. And I tell you the truth. I would prefer a friend that tells me the truth in love. Like, I know you are not telling me the truth to spite me. You are not telling me the truth to hurt me. You are not telling me the truth to make me feel small. But you are telling me the truth because you want to help me. You want me to become a better person. When you walk out of here today, decide to be a better friend. Decide to be a better friend. Say, you know what, my brother? You know I love you. But this thing that you are doing, you know what? No, it's not going to work. You are destroying yourself, my brother. This thing is not going to work. No, that's why I enjoy our drama just now. Because Brother Philip was telling people the truth. He would tell you, look, you need to do this. This thing you are doing is wrong. Imagine Brother Philip comes and finds his beloved fighting the mother. And then he just says, hey, yeah, you know this, your mother, I don't know. You know, I always tell you that your mother, she's a witch. Your mother, she's a witch. Your mother, she's a witch. Because if he tells her the truth, she will never give him sex. I'm sorry for saying such things. I'm very sorry about that. I know you guys don't know such word. You've never even heard such a word in your life. You are hearing that word for the first time. I have just messed you up. You don't know such things. Meanwhile, I'm talking to professionals. I'm talking to educators, PhD owners. Like people are sitting here. Professors. Expert in the subject. That's the people I'm talking to here. Somebody is blessed here in Jesus' name. Let's finish our story. Can we finish our story? Let's go to verse 5 of Esther 6. Start from verse 4 if you don't mind. I love you all back. But I will still speak the truth. I will still preach the truth. Thank you, sir. Let's go to verse 3 to understand where we are. Praise the Lord. What honor or recognition has Mordecai received for exposing this thing? You see, there's always a reward when you expose evil things. The king asks, nothing has been done for him. His attendant answered. Verse 4. The king said, who is in the court? Now, Haman. Say with me, Haman. This is the second name I want you to never forget. What is the first name you shouldn't forget? What is the second name you shouldn't forget? Haman. This is the second person. Now, the person, now, Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about hanging Mordecai on the gallows he had erected for him. Do you understand what's going on? The king couldn't sleep at night. He asked for the chronicles to be brought to him. When they are reading the chronicles, he realized that a guy called Mordecai had saved his life. And he asked them, was anything done for this Mordecai guy who saved my life? They said nothing was done. So the king is planning to do something for the guy. So he asked, who is there that can give me an idea? They said, no, Haman is here. He just arrived. But Haman came that day for a reason. Hello. Yes, sir. Haman had come to tell the king that, you know what? there is a man called Mordecai. We need to hang him. At the same time, the king is asking, what can be done for Mordecai? Haman is coming with a death penalty for Mordecai. You're going to learn something that will change your life forever. Verse 5. His attendant answered, Haman is standing in the court. Bring him in, the king ordered. Again, the king is not aware of anything Haman is plotting. When Haman entered, the king asked him, what should be done for the man the king delights to honor? Now, Haman thought to himself, who is there that the king would rather honor than me? Meaning himself. So he is thinking that the king wants to honor him. Are you? It's getting hot. It's getting very, very hot. Haman has come to hang Mordecai. But the king just asked him a question. What must be done for the man the king wants to honor? So now Haman is thinking, the king wants to honor him. So let's hear the answer he's about to give. Again, when you know it is for you, you go all out. You go all out. You go all out. Verse 7. So he answered to the king, for the man the king delights to honor. Introduction. Verse 8. Have them bring a royal robe. The one the king has worn. You know, like if a king has worn something and when now also you are wearing it, you are a small king. So let them bring the royal robe that the king has worn. A horse the king has ridden. One with a royal crest placed on his head. You know those horses that have that thing like this. Like it must show that this is not a normal horse. Verse 9. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor and lead him on the horse through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Hallelujah. Again, Haman is thinking it's for him. So he says, no, get the royal rope. Get the royal horse. Get the royal prince. He must make him wear those things. Then he must hold the horse. And he must be going on the street. This is what will be done for the man the king's delights to honor. This is what will be done for the man the king's delights to honor. This is what will be done for the man the king delights to honor. Wow. We are going to the conclusion. Verse 10. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe. Get the horse. Do just what you have suggested for Mordecai. Isn't it? I like your suggestion. It's a beautiful suggestion. Go and do exactly that for Mordecai. And he says to him, he said, go and do it for Mordecai, the Jew who sits at the king's gate. Then he says to him, do not neglect anything that you have said. You know why? Because now that you know it is not for you, you're going to go and get a dirty robe. You're going to go and get a broken horse to come. He said, no. Do exactly what you have said for Mordecai. I feel like showing you verse 11. Should I show you verse 11? Give us verse 11. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robbed Mordecai. This is the person you wanted to kill. This is the person you came to kill. Now you are busy putting robes on him. He put the robe on Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before Mordecai, "This is what will be done to the man the king delights to honor. This is what will be done." Put your hands together for Jesus. I came to tell you something. When you serve the king might not reward you today. Don't get offended. Mordecai did. Can you put the thing there? Can you change? Okay. That Mordecai did this wonderful thing, but nothing had been done for him. The king even asked, "What was done for the guy?" Nothing was done. Yet every day, Mordecai will come and sit at the king's gate, waiting for instructions. Even though I did something wonderful, and no reward was given me. Imagine if after Mordecai did that, maybe they gave him a ring. That was going to be all. When the king was going to ask, was anything done for Mordecai? He goes, yes, something was done for Mordecai. Then Haman was going to enter with the verdict and say, "King, I'm here to tell you that there's a man called Mordecai. We must kill him." And the king was going to say, "Go kill him now." But you see God's timing. Say with me, God's timing. God's timing. Many times you were expecting your reward now. Yeah. Do you see? You did something and you wanted to be rewarded. Yes. God says, "I don't just want to reward you, I want to save you. I want to," like, God didn't just reward Mordecai, he also saved Mordecai's life. Yes. Now, Mordecai was honored, but more than that, Mordecai was saved because he was about to die that day. Yeah. But it just so happened that the day he's supposed to die is the day God has decided to reward him. May your reward come at the right time. May your reward come at the right time. May your reward come at the right time. Your reward. Your reward for serving God. My dancing stars, singing stars, people that are going in the community to invite people to church. You can do it for years. And when you ask yourself, I mean, what has been done? Nothing. It is not useless to serve God. No. Please pray for me. Keep playing. Golama Santanama. Are you here? Are you here? That's what Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 9. Look at this. He says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good." You know why we get tired? Because you were expecting a reward, and the reward didn't come at the time you expected the reward. Now your heart is broken. Now you are getting hurt. Now you are no more doing what is good. Meanwhile, God is keeping that reward for the right time. For the right time. So I said, do not get tired of doing what is good. Why? At just the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. So there's a condition. If you give up, you will not get it. Imagine Mordecai got tired of expecting a reward and he left. If we don't give up. If we don't give up. I curse anything in you that want to make you give up. Anything in your spirit that is trying to get you out of the right position where God wants you to be, as your reward is making its way to you. Your reward is making its way to you. I don't know what Satan is saying to you. I know you've been in this church for so long. Nothing has happened. You better go and find another church. I don't know what is happening, but I came to tell you, if you do not give up, your reward will surely show up. I just can't give up. I've come too far from where I started from. Oh!
You told me
the road would be easy. Oh, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. I know you know the song. Stand on your feet and sing it with me. I just from where I started from.
Get tired of doing what is good in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. At the right time, the Bible says, the Lord will reward. At the right time, we shall reap a harvest. Father, we pray, cause us, Lord, to not give up, so that at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. We give you thanks.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you thanks.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, yes. Keep your hands lifted. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Keep your hands lifted. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. It heals us. It trains us. Strengthens us. Oh, it rebukes us. Guides us. We are grateful. We are not complaining. We love your word. But I pray now, bless this word, every heart. Bless this word, every heart, Lord. Protect this word with the blood of Jesus. Let nothing steal it from our hearts. And Father, I pray that you will give us the grace to not just be hearers, like we learn in the drama today, but that we'll actually become doers of the word. Oh God, give us grace to expose, not out of spite, but out of love. Because there are things that needs to come to the open. Give us the strength to do what is right. Father, I want to pray for anyone here that has welded themselves to the fate of an offender. Father, I ask for forgiveness and mercy over your people, Lord. Untangle us today. Untangle us today, Lord. Untangle us today. Have mercy on us, Lord. Untangle us today. Break the yoke. Untangle us today. Forgive our mistakes. Things we're supposed to say that we didn't say. Things we're supposed to do that we didn't do. Forgive us, Lord. Give us grace. Give us grace. We are here, Lord. We want to change. How many of you want to change? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for changing us. Thank you, Lord. You can take your hands down. Every eye closed and every head bowed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. His presence is here. And God wants to help somebody here right now. You are here. And you are not born again. I want to pray with you, you know. I really want to pray with you because you are not in a good state. If I'm a good pastor, I must tell you the truth. And the truth is, according to John 3 verse 3, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3 5, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. I don't want you to leave this place the same way you came. This word was for you. You know it. You know God spoke to you. I want to give you an opportunity to accept Him in your heart as your Lord and your Savior. I'm going to count up to three. If you are saying, Pastor, please pray with me. I want to change, man. I want God in my life. I pray with you. When you hear three, don't look around. Don't ask yourself who else is raising their hand. This is between you and God. So I'm going to count, and when you hear three, just raise your right hand and say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to change. I want to give my life to Jesus. I need Him to help. One, two, three. You can raise your right hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. So many hands are rising. God bless you. You can take your hands now. I also want to pray for you. You are here. You are already born again. That's right. And that's good. But you haven't been living for God. and you know it. You've joined the offender in his fate. God is calling you. God is calling you. This is your chance. I'm going to count up to three. I'm saying, Pastor, I want to recommit my life to Christ. I would like to pray with you as well. The count of three. Pastor, I need God to help me today. I want to pray with you. One, two, three. Your hand up. I want you to commit. Oh, yes. Can take your hands down. Now, I want you to do something for me. I want you to make your way, take your belongings, everything that you have, and come and join me on stage here so I can pray with you. You can start coming. Make your way. Come and join me.
I will follow. I will follow Jesus. I will follow wherever he goes. I will follow. I will follow Jesus. Wherever he goes.
Put your hands together up there, coming. We lift our hands as a sign of surrender, but we also lift our hands as a sign of reaching out to God. Lord, help me. Like Peter was drowning, but he stretched his hand, Lord, help me. That's why we lift our hands. Repeat after me from the bottom of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word that came today. Here am I. I am a sinner. I haven't been a good person.
I haven't been a good person.
I haven't been a good Christian.
I haven't been a good Christian.
I haven't been a good friend.
I haven't been a good friend.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
All my sins.
All my sins.
Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
I believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
On the third day you rose again.
On the third day you rose again.
That I might be justified.
That I might be justified.
Right now.
Right now.
I believe.
I believe.
My sins are forgiven.
I'm justified by your blood.
I'm saved.
I'm
restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. From today, I want to do right. From today, help me. Become a better person. Please write my name in the book of life. My name is. Please say your name. Please write that name in the book of life. When I walk out of this place, help me to live for you.
Help me
to love you. Help me to serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' precious name.
Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you for these ones that have come today. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your presence. Hide them in the palm of your hand, where nothing can steal them. Cover them with your precious blood, where nothing can reach them. I give you praise, Lord. As they've asked, may their names be written in the book of life, Lord. Cause them to become strong Christians, established Christians, people who love you, people who serve you with all their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.